Thank you, Jerry and Joe. And we will throw the phone lines open. 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance 1-888-660-0590. The score would have been the same if the Yankees hadn't even shown up for the game. The Blue Jays win it 9-0. Josh Donaldson's two-run shot in the eighth inning. The Jays' only homer of the game. It was already 7-0 at that point. But that prevents the Blue Jays from snapping a 13-game winning streak in games in which they don't hit a home run. This is the Blue Jays' biggest shutout win over the Yankees in over 15 years. The last time the Jays had a bigger shutout win over New York, Tony Fernandez hit a pinch-hit grand slam, and Felipe Lopez had a two-run triple as part of a 5-RBI day. They also homered twice. The Blue Jays beat the Yankees 14-0 back on September 4th, 2001. Chris Carpenter going the route on a six-hitter. Tonight, 9-0, the Blue Jays beat the Yankees. As a result, the Jays maintain their 5.5-game deficit in the AL East. The Boston Red Sox were winners today, 2-1 over the Tampa Bay Rays. The Red Sox magic number to clinch the East is reduced to 4. The Detroit Tigers beat the Kansas City Royals 8-3, so the Tigers remain in the second wild card spot, one game behind the Blue Jays, and for now, one game ahead of the Baltimore Orioles. The Orioles and Arizona Diamondbacks are tied 2-2 as they head into the bottom of the 10th at Camden Yards. The Houston Astros are two games behind the Tigers and leading the Angels, 6-3 in the top of the 7th. The Seattle Mariners, 2.5 games behind the Tigers, leading the Twins 2-0. In the bottom of the 6th. So if Houston and Seattle hold on to win, they will knock a half game off Detroit's lead on them. The Yankees fall to 4 back of Detroit in that wild card chase. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Blue Jays Talk. 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell and long distance 1-888-660-0590. 9-0. The Blue Jays beat the New York Yankees. And Steven in Newmarket, you're going to lead things off. Welcome to the program, Steven.
Thank you. First, wanted to say love the show. I rarely get to listen to it live. Big podcast subscriber, and that's one of the main reasons I was calling. At the end of the game tonight, I like the lead into the show, the player of the game. Is there any way we can get that included in the podcast?
We've been asked for that a couple of times, and I don't know what the podcasters think of that, but. It's certainly something that's being taken under consideration.
Okay, and then just the other things I just want to say was great win tonight. I know there wasn't a Blue Jays talk after the finale in Seattle, and I just urge the fans and the callers tonight, please don't go back to that game and bash R.A. Dickey. Game's over. We did our best. It was a heartbreaking loss in the extra innings. Followed up with a great win tonight. Just have a great night tonight, Mike.
All right, thank you. Appreciate the call. I don't anticipate anybody calling to bash R.A. Dickey, and if you do, I mean, there's got something seriously wrong with you. R.A. Dickey had nothing to do with the loss in Seattle on Wednesday afternoon. And now here are the Blue Jays, who have won 3 out of 4 and 5 out of 8 with a big win over the New York Yankees, and they've scored 18 runs in their last 3 games, and that includes a 1. So maybe this offense is starting to come back a little bit. Michael's in Richmond, British Columbia. Welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you, thank you, and thanks for taking my call. Go Jays, go. I think this was a little more like the team that we were expecting when we started this season, and now we're down to the crunch, right?
I think most people expected the Blue Jays to win most of their games very, very easily this year, absolutely.
Yeah, exactly, and even the forecasters on all the Sirius Southern networks, they were all picking the Jays to win the division.
Well, a lot of people took Boston to win the division.
Yeah. I mean, it's a tough division, right?
Yep.
You know? So my feeling is, and please, if you can give me your feedback on this, I'm believing that these 7 games, this 7-game homestand, will probably be the most important set of games in the season. That's going to decide whether we get in or whether we don't.
I have a hard time believing that the Blue Jays will clinch a playoff spot between now and the end of the homestand with how much everybody's so bunched up. I think these last 10 games, And this entire month of September has been really important. And the truth of the matter is the biggest game of the season for the Blue Jays pretty much all year long has been the next game. And that's the way it's going to go for the rest of this homestand and for those three games at Fenway Park. It is difficult to imagine at this point the Blue Jays 5.5 games back with 9 games to play, the Red Sox with only 8 games to play. It's hard to imagine that the Blue Jays will go into Fenway Park with a shot at the division, but stranger things have happened. Regardless, it's equally as hard to imagine that the Blue Jays will go into that series of Fenway Park with the first wild card locked up. So these 7 games, the next 6 are going to be very important, and the 3 after that are likely to be very important as well. Thanks for the call. We will continue to take your calls at 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Right now we will step away and we'll come back with more Blue Jays talk. Jays beat the Yankees 9-0. It is the Sportsnet Radio Network.
He waits the 0-1 pitch. Lines one to left center field. Base hit. Donaldson scores. Edwin scores. Gardner throws to third. That keeps Martin at second. Blue Jays in flight, leading the Yankees 2-0.
There was the first of two-run singles for Troy Tulowitzki tonight. Coming up with the bases loaded and 2 out in the first inning and making sure that the Blue Jays capitalize. He came up with the bases loaded again in the 7th and again got the job done with another 2-run single as the Blue Jays roll to a 9-0 win over the New York Yankees, out hitting the Yankees 13-3. The Blue Jays have won 6 in a row at home against the Yankees. It's the first time they've done that since 1992 and 1993, and you might remember those as pretty good years for the Toronto Blue Jays. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Blue Jays Talk. The Jays maintain their 1-game lead over the Detroit Tigers for the first wild card in the American League, and they stay 5.5 back of the Boston Red Sox in the East. Sox beat the Tampa Bay Rays 2-1 today for their 9th straight win. Boston's magic number to clinch the East is 4. The Orioles are working overtime home to the Arizona Diamondbacks in a 2-2 tie as they play in the top of the 11th inning. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Blue Jays Talk, and let's get back to the phones. Lawrence is in Toronto. Hello, Lawrence.
Hi, Mike. I haven't spoken to you in about a week now because the West Coast made it difficult to call in, so I'm glad to be back on and talk to you.
Glad to have you. Thanks.
What an amazing environment today at the Sky Dome. And one of the things that I noticed first and foremost was we go through ups and downs as Toronto fans, for sure. I'm being one of those guys, and I mean, you deal with them calling in all the time. But that whole stadium wanted to get behind Batista. I mean, we listened to the radio, and we listened to a lot of the, you know, people in your position and a lot of callers call in. But it was so amazing to watch everybody get behind him even before. Like, as soon as Encarnacion got the intentional walk and he came up, there was a buzz. And a buzz that I, from my opinion, only Batista, like that kind of Batista buzz that we have and love so well. I think Jerry even mentioned it earlier in your postgame.
Well, you know what? It would be a great thing if he turned into big, scary Jose Bautista again. And I agree with you. I mean, it's funny because when you listen to talk radio or when you look at Twitter, it seems like there's such a huge population of Blue Jay fans who are so negative, who complain all the time, who think the sky is falling, who really, some of them, seem to even want the Blue Jays to lose. But when you come to the ballpark, this place is packed every single night with fans who are roaring and who very clearly love this team and want to see it do well. So it's so gratifying to see these crowds here.
Yeah. There was a killer article I read yesterday from ESPN. It was .com about all of the various possibilities that the wild card situations would create if there was ties. And I think it took a moment to integrate the fact that Boston is now running away with the East. But there's a narrative, and I'm a narrative guy, and I know that you're more of a facts guy, but I'm a narrative guy. And the narrative in terms of the road to get to Odor is one really romantic movie.
Well, it certainly could be. I mean, it could be a win over Detroit in the wild card game, beating Boston in a best of five American League Division Series, and then getting back to Texas for a best of seven. It certainly could be a very romantic narrative, and narratives are fun, but they're you know, facts are more important, but there's no question that narratives are definitely fun. Thank you, Lawrence. Appreciate the call. Yeah, there's all of a sudden competition for the top seed in the American League. Going into tonight, the Rangers led the Indians by half a game and the Red Sox by a game for the top seed in the American League. Texas is at Oakland now in a nothing-nothing game in the top of the fifth. Cleveland has already beaten the White Sox 10-4, and the Red Sox have beaten Tampa Bay 2-1. So as of this second, Texas and Cleveland share the best record in the American League, half a game ahead of the Red Sox. And if the Rangers should lose in Oakland, then the Indians will have the best record in the American League, half a game ahead of the Red Sox and a game up on Texas. So this is going to be very, very, very interesting to see who hosts the wild card team. I think we thought for a long time that it was a foregone conclusion that whoever wins the wild card game is going to go to Texas for the first round. That is certainly far from fait accompli, if you will. We continue to take your calls at 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. But before we get to the next call, let's hear from the skipper. Here's what John Gibbons had to say in the wake of tonight's 9-0 whitewash by the Blue Jays over the Yankees.
John, what did you like best in that game?
Well, you know, Steve, you always like when you score a lot of runs. That makes it easier on a team and a manager, coaching staff, all that. I thought Liriano was really, really good. We just did some really good things offensively. And Benoit came in, you know, the game was still in check there. Got the big double play, you know, nice play by Eddie over there at first base. So, you know, a lot of good things. Well, you know, just really a well-played game.
John, the last time you guys were facing Mitchell, you had a similar situation to the second there. Two on, nobody out, Travis up. And there was no bunt that time, but there was the bunt this time. What was the change in thinking there?
I got tired of listening to you people. And I was hoping like hell we didn't score so I could throw it back at you. No, really. Right then, I thought, you know what, we're up to. Let's try to put the wood to them a little bit, get something happen. And it turned out, you know, after Dev's first attempt, you know, he clutched up and got the other one, big one down. So, you know, I think it's definitely a misconception that I'm anti-bunt. That's for damn sure, you know. But, you know, there's certain times you need it, and I figured, you know, this point in the season, that particular situation turned over to the big boys coming up, our RBI guys, you know, so.
When Liriano came over here, he had a 5.5 ERA. What did you realistically expect from him when he arrived?
John, I don't think I can answer that. You know, he's been very successful. You know, he's always had one of the better arms in baseball. You know, I saw him as a young kid in Minnesota. Loved him. You know, he's one of those guys that could always dominate teams. And, you know, he really hasn't lost a whole lot. But his issue, they would get him in trouble, you know, if he'd lose his own a little bit. But he's also a guy that, you know, he can strike guys out. You know, he can roll double plays because he gets ground balls and things like that. But that's, even tonight you said there was times he got, you know, he fell out of it a little bit. But, you know, he got some big outs. And but to be honest, really no expectations on my part other than, you know, we knew the guy still had a good arm. And, you know, you're hoping he comes over and does what Grilly and Benoit and those guys when they came over here. Things just took off for him. So, and you know, you look at what he's done since he's been here. He's thrown the ball very, very well. But he's not a guy that's going to go out there. And he's going to walk a couple guys a night. That's just who he is. I mean, certain guys do that because, you know, he's got a live fastball. He can get a little strong with his delivery and fall off, a lot like Cecil. But you know, he can strike you out too. He can get some big ground balls. So, he's a good competitor.
John, forgive a fashion question, but Josh Donaldson was hard to miss tonight. What did you think of the white high tops and the knee sock?
Yeah, you mean Johnny High School? Oh, yeah, it looked a little odd, you know, the short pants. Yeah, I hadn't seen that. When he turned that double play with Eddie in the seventh, you know, he was kind of blinding when he was coming across the bag, you know, with the But hey, whatever works.
That is exactly the deal. Whatever works, and it certainly worked tonight. Josh Donaldson with the high tops and the high socks, and he goes 1-for-4, scores a couple of runs, a 2-run homer and a walk, and the Blue Jays beat the Yankees by a score of 9-0. Interesting to hear John Gibbons saying he ordered Devin Travis to bunt in the second with runners at first and second with nobody out, just to get all the people who ask him about bunting to shut up about it in case it didn't work. And the truth of the matter is, I mean, it worked, but it didn't work. The Blue Jays only scored one run. The two batters behind Travis both walked. And then Jose Bautista hit into a double play to end the inning. You play for one run. Often that's all you'll get. Sometimes you won't even get that. But then the next time up, certainly there was no bunt in order, and the Blue Jays wound up scoring a big whack of runs. They beat the New York Yankees 9-0. They've scored 20 runs in their last three games, 10 Tuesday, 9 tonight, and, of course, 1 on Wednesday. I'm Mike Wilner, and this is Blue Jays Talk, and let's get back to the phones. Eddie is in Fort Erie. Hello, Eddie.
Hey, Mike. How's it going tonight?
Good. Go ahead.
Well, a couple of things. First of all, I want to talk about Francisco Liriano's performance tonight. I thought he really calmed himself down after he got the first two outs and he loaded the bases. And, you know, that just shows how calm that, you know, he can be just after getting those two outs, and then he just finds a way to get out of it. And I think that really helped him, you know, throughout the evening. You know, just stay calm, be positive, and things will fall in your favor, you know?
This guy's been around the block a few times, right? He's pitched in some huge games. He's been a very good pitcher for a very long time. So you certainly expect that, you know, when he's in a first-inning jam, he's going to be able to control his emotions. And he did a very good job of getting out of it, absolutely.
And the second thing was the seventh inning, because even though it was 3-0 for Toronto, I thought they need to add on some runs, and I'm glad they did, because the Yankees had the top of the lineup coming up in the eighth inning, and I thought if they didn't add on those runs, I don't know what would have happened, because we know what Gardner can do, we know what Ellsbury can do, and we know what Sanchez can do. So I'm really glad we got those add-on runs to really, you know, put pressure on the Yankees and not let them come back into the game, you know, because at any time, like I said, those guys can do a lot of damage.
This is the story of the season, Eddie, and I appreciate the call. The story of the season has been that the Blue Jays have failed to score add-on runs. And as a result, some of the games have gotten a lot closer than they've needed to, and they've wound up losing some because they have not built on leads. So I can't blame you for thinking 3's not enough going into the seventh inning. I'm sure there were a lot of people who thought that, and it was really good to see them tack on 6 runs in the seventh and eighth and put this game away, because that's what this team needs to do. They can't rely on their pitching to keep the other team to 2 or less every night, and we saw how that worked for the first couple of weeks of September. Brian is in Toronto. Hey, Brian.
Hey, Mike.
Go right ahead.
Hey, I was very happy to see that the Jays won tonight, especially a 9-0 game. However, I'm still not totally confident they can go much further, and I'm wondering really what Gibby's thinking with keeping Mr. Loop around as long as he has. He's been a non-producer for us. It's time that Mr. Gibby takes a good look at a trade. We might get some real offset out of it. John's been doing a fair job, but he could do a bit better than he has for us Toronto fans. I'm a real Toronto Blue Jay fan. I've been since the beginning, and I'll stay till the end. But there's a lot of people in the city of Toronto that were expecting the Jays to go all the way to the World Series. I was a little doubtful at first. I'm still doubtful they're going to go much further than they have. They've done fairly well for a team with a few injuries. However, let's hope that they can do better.
All right. Sure. Only 2 teams get to go to the World Series, and it's a very difficult thing to do, but certainly the Blue Jays, going into this season and even up until September 1st, had to be one of the favorites to go to the playoffs and do well. I mean, I believe the playoffs are just a coin flip anyway.
They could do it. You know,
Yeah, they certainly could.
Things have happened before, and things can happen again.
Well, there doesn't have to be anything crazy to happen for the Blue Jays to get to the World Series. They just have to start playing well, and it seems as though they have. And hopefully they can continue it. You need to know John Gibbons, A, doesn't make trades. That's Ross Atkins' job. But, I mean, yeah, Aaron Loop hasn't been good, but you got a pretty good team if you're calling into the postgame show to complain about the eighth reliever, no?
Well, we could, you know, but I don't know. There's a couple guys here I'm looking at that are relief pitchers could actually be traded away, and we might get some young player come up that really produces for us and makes us a winning team.
Okay, that's really you know that's not going to happen badly on September 23rd, though, right?
Not for a little while.
No, not for a little while. And if you think another thing, and I do appreciate the call, Brian, and I appreciate your Blue Jays fandom, absolutely, and you're a lot more positive than negative on the call. I don't know why you're getting so hung up on Aaron Loop, but one thing that people need to remember is if you think a player is terrible, you're not going to get anything good by trading him, because teams don't give up good things for terrible players. And again, if all you've got to complain about is the eighth guy in the bullpen who's probably not going to be on the playoff roster if the Blue Jays make the playoffs, then you got a pretty good team. And the Blue Jays were pretty good tonight. They beat the New York Yankees 9-0. Ernie in Toronto. Hello, Ernie.
How's Mike doing?
I'm doing all right. How's Ernie?
Not bad at all. A couple quick questions for you. And I mean, it's not off season yet, but with the Jays' attendance, the way that they've been drawing attendance this year,
yep.
Do you think they bring back one of either Encarnacion or Bautista and give personally, I'd like to see them bring Edwin back on a multi-year contract. Do you see that happen? Do you see the payroll going up?
I hope so. But honestly, I hope what it comes to is decision of whether or not to bring Edwin Encarnacion back, I hope, is a baseball decision and not a money decision. If Mark Shapiro and Ross Atkins feel like Edwin wants too much money or wants a longer term at more money than they're comfortable with for what they believe Edwin's production is going to be over the life of that contract, that's one thing. If they think Edwin is asking for a reasonable amount but can't afford it, that is something else entirely. And I do believe that it's going to be more about the former than it is about the latter. Now, Boston could come in, or some other team, we all think it's going to be Boston, could come in and offer Edwin 4 years and $120 million. And I don't think Mark Shapiro and Ross Atkins want to swim in those waters. I don't think that they believe there's value in giving Edwin that contract going into his late 30s. And then you've got lots of guys making lots of money who are on the wrong side of 30 years old. But I hope it does come down to that and not, hey, we would have liked to, but we couldn't fit him into our payroll. And hopefully with the Blue Jays going to draw 3.3 million fans this year, maybe going back to the playoffs again, and one hopes with what has happened since the beginning of last August, ownership sees how much money there is to be made and that it's worth advancing the payroll a little bit in order to keep this team a championship contender year in and year out. Mark Shapiro has said he believes that that is possible. He believes that the Blue Jays will have the resources available to maintain a championship-caliber club every year. Ownership's got to step up and deliver, and one hopes that they certainly will.
Sure. Now, the next thing going on with that there, with the Jays drawing as many fans as they are, with selling out as many games, does that give ownership more of an opportunity to increase the team salary? Or
yeah, didn't I just say that?
Attendance have nothing to do with how much?
No, attendance has everything to do with it. Attendance and the TV numbers, and I'm assuming to a far lesser extent the radio ratings, but there are tons of eyes on this team all the time and lots of merchandise being sold and every ticket being sold. So, yeah, that just shows you just how much revenue there is in this team if it's challenging for a playoff spot. Legitimately challenging, not 3 games out with 10 games left, but legitimately challenging for a playoff spot.
Yeah. Now, if Edwin or Bautista were to go someone else, go somewhere else? Is there anybody else that the Jays could bring in that would produce like of the caliber that they have been producing, or is this year a very, very weak market for it?
Well, there's nobody else like Edwin Encarnacion and Jose Bautista on the market, free agent-wise, that's for sure. It would have to, you know, they would have to acquire replacements in trade. You know, there's nobody knocking on the door in AAA. You could potentially have an outfield of Pompey, Pilar, and Upton next year, but I don't think the Blue Jays quite want to go with that. It would definitely be somewhere where they'd have to go outside the organization and look to improve. Thank you, Ernie. Appreciate the call. We have time to sneak one more in, and we may have a little bit of an extended Blue Jays talk on the other side of the top of the hour as well on our local station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. But right now, let's go to Paul in St. Catharines. Hey, Paul.
Hey, Mr. Wilner. How are you, sir?
Good. You have a minute and a half.
Okay, good enough. Quick question anyway.
All right.
Can our 2016 Blue Jays turn into the 2015 Blue Jays with 9 games left in the season and go a little further than we did last year? Very simple.
Well, I don't think they're going to turn into the 2015 Blue Jays. I mean, it would be nice to see them score like double-digit runs every third game and blow people away and basically not lose over the last 2 months of the season. But I don't think they need to turn into the 2015 Blue Jays in order to make the playoffs and to go a long way. They just have to start playing like they did in July and August. You know, they were 16-8 in July. They were 17-11 in August. This was a really, really good team. And they're second in the league in ERA. They have the best starting rotation in the league. They're top four in runs scored in the league. So they just need to start playing like they can. And you look back at the last 8 games, they've won 5 of them. They've started to sort of come around and play the kind of baseball that we believe that they can. If they do that, there's honestly no reason to believe that they can't get to the playoffs and do quite well in the playoffs.
So we got a shot.
Oh, there's no question. They're in a playoff spot right now. They've absolutely got a shot.
I love how positive you are. You're great.
Just telling the truth.
You got it.
All right.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for the call. Thanks for all the calls and apologies to those of you to whom we could not get. But if you're on hold, stay on hold because apparently we're going to have a little bit of extra Blue Jays talk after the top of the hour. 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Blue Jays beat the Yankees 9-0. Postgame show is brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers. This is the Sportsnet Radio Network. That's going to do it for us for now. Again, if you're on hold, stay on hold. We'll continue our Blue Jays talk past the top of the hour with a little Sportsnet Tonight extra. But the Blue Jays tonight beat the New York Yankees 9-0. Francisco Liriano, Joaquin Benoit, Brett Cecil, and Danny Barnes combine on a 3-hit shutout. It is the first time in franchise history that the Blue Jays have shut out the New York Yankees in back-to-back home games. It's the first time since 1992 and 93 that the Jays have won 6 straight at home against the Yankees. Troy Tulowitzki, 2-for-4 with 4 RBIs, a couple of 2-run singles with the bases loaded. Jose Bautista, a 2-run double after Edwin Encarnacion had been intentionally walked in front of him. And Josh Donaldson with a 2-run homer in the 8th, his 36th of the season. Elsewhere, the Blue Jays competitors, the Orioles and Diamondbacks, are tied 2-2 as they move to the 12th. The Tigers have already won. They beat Kansas City 8-3. The Red Sox have already won. They beat Tampa Bay 2-1. Right now, it's Seattle over Minnesota, 8-0 in the top of the 7th, and Houston leading the Angels 6-4 in the top of the 9th. So what that means is that the Blue Jays are still 5.5 back in the AL East, and the Red Sox magic number to clinch the division is down to 4. The Jays still hold the first wild card by 1 game over Detroit. The Tigers are 1 game ahead of Baltimore, 2 up on Houston, 2.5 over Seattle, 4 over the Yankees, pending the conclusion of the Baltimore, Houston, and Seattle games. Tomorrow, the Blue Jays continue this at a weird Saturday time. The game starts at 4:07. We're on the air at 3:30 p.m. Eastern for the pregame. It'll be Marcus Stroman against CeCe Sabathia. The Blue Jays will look for their 4th win in 5 games. You've been listening to Home Hardware Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Home Hardware. Homeowners helping homeowners with expert advice. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership and may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Sportsnet Radio Network. For Jerry and Joe, Tom Young, Tom Rominski, and Boffo, I'm Mike Wilner. Bye-bye.